To this meeting of the Plans Committee. A number of things I would like to remind people of before we start with the items on the agenda. Please note, this meeting is being recorded and a sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. So that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everyone present to please turn off mobile phones or switch them to silent? We're not expecting any fire alarm tests this evening, so if the alarms sound, please proceed to the nearest fire exits, which are situated to the side and rear of the meeting room. Toilets are available, and these can be found through the doors at the back and side of the room. Thank you. Proceed with the meeting, the agenda. Item one, apologies.
I've had apologies from Councillor Lowe and Councillor Snart, Chair.
Thank you. Minutes of the previous meeting have been circulated. Can I sign them as a correct record? Thank you. There are no questions under Committee Procedure 12.8. 4, disclosures of personal and pecuniary interests. Do we have any?
Thank you, Chair. On item number 6, the applications are determined under delegated powers. I have a personal interest in one of the applications relating to Grange Park Centre, and I will leave the room during that item. Thanks.
Thank you. Any others? No? Planning applications. We only have one application tonight, and we are prepared to go ahead with that now.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Yes, the application before members tonight is an application for full planning permission for the erection of 43 dwellings with associated landscaping and other works as set out on the screen before you now, on land at Ginsel Court and Ginsel Lane in Anstey. This is the application site. I know that most of the committee were on site this afternoon. To the north of the site is the land which is currently being developed by Davidson's. To the northwest is the A46. The application site is the area of land here behind Ginsel Court, and the application site does include the woodland, but as you'll see shortly, does not propose any development of the woodland, indeed proposes the enhancement and retention of the woodland. Whilst the site is in Anstey Parish, it bounds Blaby District and the settlement of Glenfield. There is an existing extant permission on the site, which is set out in detail in the report, for 40 dwellings. This application proposes development of 43 dwellings. The principal difference between the scheme, I'll just go to the layout first, and the extant permission. The extant permission for 40 dwellings proposed that the vehicle access would use the existing vehicle access, which is a driveway which winds its way through the grounds in front of Ginsel Court, around the front of Ginsel Court, and then opens out into the land at the rear, which is the proposed development site. As I said, the main difference with this site is that it proposes a new vehicle access coming off Ginsel Lane at a point here next to an electricity substation. So there's a new access coming into the site, and as members will have seen from the papers, that has the support of the Highway Authority. The site has a large number of protected trees in the area here, and on the site of the dwellings themselves, a number of trees will be lost. However, the extant scheme involves the removal of very similar groups of trees. The key difference in terms of trees is that to provide a safe new access onto to Ginsel Lane, a tree at the access will be removed to provide the the new access off Chintall Lane. The key issues are the fact that the site is in countryside outside the development boundary to Anstey, and as I said before, in effect relates probably better to Glenfield than Anstey itself, but it's not so far from Anstey. Nevertheless, the material planning considerations are there is an extant position for 40 dwellings. This is 43 dwellings on the same site with an improved access. And as you'll see from the aerial photograph, it is next to another site which is being developed. In terms of policy, as well as being in the countryside, it's an area defined as Green Wedge, but you'll see from the report that the review by ARUP of the Council's Green Wedge a couple of years ago did recommend, although that's not advanced any further, will be considered during the next round of plan making, that the Green Wedge should be amended to delete these areas. The view of the experts was that they provide little functional purpose in terms of a Green Wedge, so the recommendation is that the site next door, which is being developed, and this site, which already has a permission, should be excluded from the Green Wedge. Therefore, the view is that little weight can be given to the Green Wedge policy. And it is, I say, a highly sustainable location, not too far from Anstey, but again relating well to Glenfield and other parts of the built-up part of the wider Leicester conurbation. I just mentioned the trees. There are some ecological interests on the site. There are some great crested newts in the ponds in the area here. Again, there's a scheme as to how they're going to be dealt with, which has been supported by the council's ecologist. You'll see as well that there is the A46 to the northwest of the site, and again, there's a recommendation that supports the summary of the applicant's noise assessment, which is fencing to boundaries, and some of those properties closest to the road will have to be have acoustic treatment to both the face of the buildings and the windows. This is very similar to the scheme which has permission and similar to the arrangements on the Davidson scheme next door. So it's a consistent approach to the how we're dealing with noise on the site. One of the key issues, which is why it's taken a little while for the application to come to committee, was that of viability. The scheme has 43 dwellings. To be policy compliant, there's a requirement for 13 affordable dwellings. When the application first came in, it was only supported by 11 dwellings, and there was a viability assessment. The viability assessment has been through the scrutiny of the district valuer, and the scheme has been amended to take account of the viability report, and what is now being offered is a total of 9 affordable dwellings, and there would be, rather than the policy compliant 13, but members will be familiar with the policy which allows the numbers of affordable housing to be reduced where that is supported by an independently assessed viability assessment, and that is what we have before us today. The mix of housing is felt to be acceptable and is supported by the housing officer, and significantly there are a couple of bungalows as well which meets a local need, so two of the affordable units would be bungalows. So it's slightly short of our normal requirement, but on the back of an assessed viability report, 9 affordable units in this instance are felt to be acceptable. The late items report talks about contributions. What the applicants have offered to provide is all of the contributions which have been asked for by all of the normal consultees. So you'll see in the committee report there's the normal extensive list of the requirements, and the applicant has agreed to meet all of them. The report does point out, I'll just find the page number, that at the time of writing the report there was still uncertainty. Halfway down page 25 it does say, and this is repeated in the late items or the extras report, there was uncertainty about whether or not the recreation facilities were SIL compliant, and there was a mechanism that if they weren't, the money could be recycled for affordable housing. I can advise members, as was promised on page 25 of the report, that we now have reached agreement with colleagues in open spaces and scrutinised in a little more detail the off-site open space provision, and I'll just go through it. There were three elements to it which we didn't have specific projects for. So I think whilst we accepted that the applicant was prepared to make the payments, we have a duty to ensure that any payments which are submitted and are accepted must be SIL compliant, because they'll be scrutinised by ourselves and by others, and you know, that's the law, that's what we have to do. So just in summary, the young people's provision, which was just over £40,000, would be going towards the refurbishment replacement of the Scout Hut project, which is an ongoing project in Anstey, and that is SIL compliant, and there's at least one other contribution going towards that project, so that is that satisfies the legal requirements. The allotment, which is almost £5,000, £4,900 odd, that's a project which the parish has to convert the cemetery extension into temporary allotments for 30 years. What the parish have is a cemetery extension, like many local community organisations and parishes, but the extension to the cemetery is not going to be needed for some time. Therefore, to put it to good use for 30 years, it will be given over to allotments. So it's the sort of the far end of the cemetery extension, and this money would be put towards realising that project. And the final one is outdoor sport, which is almost £60,000, £59,633. The parish have a number of projects which are all SIL compliant here. There is the creation of new football pitches at the Link Road playing fields, and a couple of projects on the Anstey Recreation Ground, which is surfacing the all-weather pitch and works to tennis courts. So it's not quite clear how that's going to be divided between those projects, but officers are satisfied that one or all of those projects are SIL compliant. They are specific projects and do meet the legal requirements. So apologies that the late items report still had that slightly up in the air, but I can assure members, as set out on page 25, that we now have projects which are SIL compliant, so they should be carried forward into the recommendation. The another item from the extras report is that we have an amended plan, which is revision version P, that shows the deletion of two of the houses which were affordable, which would now be market houses. Those houses haven't changed in any way. They're a pair of semi-detached houses, which are about here on the site. So it's a pair of semi-detached houses that were going to be affordable, and following the viability assessment, they now would be market houses. And the recommendation in the extras report is that that condition should be amended to take account of the latest drawing, which shows those changes. So, subject to the comments I've just made, in particular clarifying the issue of SIL compliance and the off-site recreation facilities, which the applicants had already confirmed they were agreeable to pay, the recommendation is that the planning permission should be granted, subject to a 106 agreement. So if you look at your report, just to be clear what the officer recommendation is, the report and recommendation, which is recommendation A on page 30. So the recommendation A on page 30 has a list of bullet points, and just to confirm that the bottom three bullet points are SIL compliant and should be added to that list. And recommendation B is subject to the completion of the 106 agreement referred to above, permission should be granted, subject to the list of conditions which are set out with the minor amendment to the drawing number on condition number 2. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. We have three speakers this evening. We have Mr. Singh on behalf of Mr. Gajibasia. We have it's for the objector. We have Marie Stacey for the developer, and we have the ward councillor, Councillor Deborah Taylor. Mr. Singh. Do you understand, sir, how the lights work?
I've been told a little bit about it.
The green light will come on when you start speaking. The amber light will come on when you've got to 4 minutes. And when the red light comes on, you have to stop speaking.
Thank you.
Okay, all yours.
Right. I am here to speak on behalf of myself and Mr. Gajibasia I own the property 64 Jinsey Lane, and Mr. Gajibasia is next door to me, which is 62. I am in the middle of the Jinsey Court and Mr. Gajibasia's house. The problem I got is if all these the accommodation unit types 622 and number 33, 34, and unit types 832 and number 35 and number 36, if these are constructed, I will completely lose the privacy of my house, and I am the one who is going to be most affected by it. My grandkids, they will not be able to play there anymore because the people, the movement of the people behind my plot will be there all day. And to make short, I will not like anything to be constructed in that plot, which is behind my house, that will satisfy me. And I'm happy with that.
Is that your statement, sir?
That's right, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Marie Stacey. You'll be very familiar with the lights.
Yep. Yes. Thank you, Chair. My name is Marie Stacey, and I am the planning consultant acting on behalf of the applicant Keep Moat Homes. The applicant welcomes the recommendation by your officer to approve the application subject to conditions and Section 106 agreement. I will highlight why we consider the application should be approved today, and it is hoped that this will also aid members in supporting their officer's recommendations. The application before you today is for 43 dwellings with 21% affordable provision, which includes two bungalows. The principle of residential development on this site has already been established by the extant planning permission for 40 dwellings, which should be afforded significant weight in the determination of this application. The site sits between the Leicester principal urban area and the Davidson's housing development currently under construction, and therefore is a logical infill site. The site is in a sustainable location as it is in within walking and cycling distance of a wide range of local services and facilities, including local bus stops that provide connections to and from Leicester City Centre and Anstey, primary school, convenience stores, sports facilities and local GP surgery and pharmacy. As set out in the officer's report, there are no objections to the proposals from statutory consultees except for the Parish Council. The main issues raised by the Parish Council relate to location, highways, impact on residential amenity of adjacent neighbours, noise and affordable housing. However, Leicestershire County Council Highways, the Council's Environmental Health Officer and the Council's Housing Officer have no objections subject to conditions being attached to any forthcoming decision. The viability appraisal submitted with the application has been extensively evaluated by the independent district valuer, who agrees with the outcomes. The applicant will meet the requested Section 106 contributions and provide 9 affordable units, including 2 bungalows. The level of affordable housing and tenure mix has been accepted by your housing officer. The housing mix, as part of this application, will provide a different mix and variety to the area, comprising more affordable and smaller 2- and 3-bed family homes, alongside much-needed bungalows to complement the existing stock. The proposals will therefore meet the borough's housing needs as identified in the Leicestershire Housing and Economic Development Needs Assessment. The proposals are also supported by a comprehensive package of Section 106 contributions towards improved education, libraries, health, civic amenity, off-site open space and public transport improvements totalling circa £300,000. Sustainable housing sites such as the scheme before you today provide an opportunity to significantly boost the housing supply and ensure the borough provides a good mix of family homes. As outlined within your officer's report, there are significant benefits and material considerations associated with this development that outweigh the limited impacts identified. I would therefore urge members to accept the officer recommendation to grant planning permission, subject to the conditions outlined and completion of a Section 106 agreement. I'd also like to just address Mr. Singh's comments that he's just previously made. In terms of the proposals before you today, the proposed units are actually further away from the boundary than the extent planning permission, and therefore there's no further detriment to the residential amenity of number 62 and 64. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. The applicant's site is part of the grounds of Dinsel Court. This is an Edwardian mansion with four Mews cottages. Dinsel Court has been subdivided into 9 flats, and both Dinsel Court and the Mews are listed. The new access road would have a severe impact upon this area. This impact would harm the heritage asset, as the new access road would pass right in front of the four Mews cottages and by the side of the 9 flats. I think this is enough to refute this application on its own. The majority of the site lies outside the limits to development for Anstey, as identified in the 2004 local plan. Highways. In the report on page 10, it states, a new access is proposed from Dinsel Lane, running between Dinsel Court and the Mews cottages. Dinsel Court would continue to use the existing access from Dinsel Lane, and the Mews cottages would be served by the new proposed access. The cottages would be provided with 4 new parking spaces as part of this development. Not enough, in my opinion, especially for their visitors. The comments from Highway suggest the permanent closure of the existing access to Dinsel Court and the Mews, and the reinstatement of the redundant drop curbs. As you read on to the report, it states on condition 12 that this will cover the closure of the existing entrance. Taking all this into account, I'm confused about what is the truth. The existing access to Dinsel Court is not suitable or safe to be used for this new development. Leaving both entrances open on a tight bend with no visibility would result in accidents and is not an option. Highway have also advised that the internal layout of the site is not designed to an adoptable standard. They have been advised by the applicant's agent that the site will not be put forward for adoption. This leaves me very worried about future maintenance of the roads, and do not think we should be allowing a development of 43 houses to be built with no idea how it will be maintained in the future and leaving this to the new residents. There is only one bus passing this development, that is the Roberts 120 service, running every 2 hours. This service is fully subsidised by Leicestershire County Council and is under the threat of removal by the County Council, making this site unsustainable. Privacy. There are houses planned right up to the boundary of 64 Dinsel Lane and a road right up to the boundary of 62 and 64 Dinsel Lane. There is little attempt to try and protect these boundaries with limited landscaping and would severely affect both properties' privacy. 64 Dinsel Lane's garden slopes down from their property and all their living rooms will be overlooked and all of their garden by this development. The side gable end of plot 33 would be approximately 20 metres from the rear of number 64 Dinsel Lane and 30 metres from the rear of number 62 Dinsel Lane. Road noise. This development is extremely close to the busy A46. The report from Anne Green, a chartered environmental health practitioner, states that a 1.8-metre acoustic barrier would be required to protect outdoor amenity spaces. However, it acknowledges that whilst this will help reduce noise impact from road noise, due to the proximity of the site to the A46, noise levels in gardens are likely to exceed the upper guideline value of 55 decibels. The technical report submitted would comprise of sound insulation and specially designed glazing and ventilation to specific properties. I think this is an unacceptable noise level for new residents. Onto affordable housing. The original report stated that there would be 21% of the site given to affordable housing, just under the recommended 30%. This provides 9 dwellings. I was willing to accept this, but after reading the extras report, I now see there are plans to lose 2 affordable dwellings, taking it down to just 7 dwellings on the site, not as been stated by both the officer and the agent that there would be 9. It is now down to 7. No doubt if this application is approved, we'd get a variation to the section 106 to remove all the affordable housing. We need affordable housing, and this is just not acceptable to keep reducing the amount of this type of housing on new developments. Please check the figures on page 26 and the extras report. In conclusion, both Anstey and Glenfield Parish Councils have submitted objections, as I have. The access road, the affordable housing, the effect on neighbouring properties, and the effect on listed buildings weigh heavily on the side of refusal. I struggle to understand how the developers are going to access the site without damage from their large machinery passing right in front of the four listed old Muse cottages and nine flats. The effect on privacy of the property on the Ginster Lane is severe, with houses right at the bottom of their gardens with full view of all the living rooms. I hope the committee take on board my comments and refuse this application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Before we go on and bring in other speakers, the council members, would you like to comment on the numbers that have just been said, on the number of houses, etc.?
I would, yes, and apologies to the ward member if there's any confusion in between the report and the late items. But just to be clear, that the offer of affordable housing on the site is nine, and what is referred to in the late items or the extras report is that because that was agreed quite late in the day, the plan, which was version... Bear with me, let's look at my... Yeah, version M... Version M showed 11 affordable houses on it. So version M had 11 affordable houses on. Version P, which I'm asking members to consider tonight, has just nine affordable houses on. So plots 41 and 42 were originally proposed to be the 10th and 11th plots, affordable plots. They've now been, on the basis of the viability report, they've now been removed from the affordable housing offer, and they are now... would be market houses, so the market, the affordable housing has gone down from 11 to 9, as is set out in the report, but that was only shown fairly late on revision P, which is the plan before members. So apologies for any confusion there. I hope it's clear that the offer of affordable housing is 21%, not 30%, but that's set out in the report for reasons of viability. Thank you.
Thank you. I have three committee members... Right, Councillor Bentley.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think what we've got to remember about this application is that, of course, that there is already a planning application that's been approved for this site. And, of course, most of us have visited this site this afternoon, and I believe that what was in front of us now is far better than what we had previously. Looking at the privacy issue for Mr. Singh, okay, we can see that, but this is a better position than what he was in previously. I may not like it, but unfortunately we don't have a right to privacy, we just have a right to overbearance and loss of light. And I think on balance it's better than we had before, except the 21% rather than the 30%. So... based on the recommendations on page 30 in the and the additional SIL compliant offer that's been made, I'd like to move officer recommendation.
Second that.
Councillor Gerard, got your name right this time.
Yes, I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you, Chair. There was something about the road. When we went into the grounds of the house, it was more towards the bend, and I thought, no. But as we came out, the new road, I stopped and purposely looked either way. And to me, it's good vision. I drive, so... But, yes, we've got two bungalows in there, which is really good. And I'm with the officers and recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Tassel.
Thank you. I would go with the officers' recommendation on this, but there are just one or two items I would like to clarify. Listening to Mr. Singh, I'm always sympathetic to people that are going to lose a fantastic view. And I know views aren't part of the planning application, aren't an objection to planning, but is there no soft screening, no soft landscaping being thought of between the existing properties and the new ones to help the people get over this sudden bricks and mortar in front of them? That's the first thing. the houses that are backing onto the existing properties, are they going to have full view windows rather than obscure windows? Can I have some answers, please?
Yes, certainly. I'll, just to help members, what I've got here is a layout plan of a detail. Excuse me. Of this, this is number the rear of number 64, and this is the scheme before members tonight, and these are the bungalows which are proposed, and these are the houses, and this is the boundary between number 64, and this is the boundary of number 62. As I said, there's a distance of about 20 metres between the rear of the house and the gable wall of the bungalows. This plan, which is an amended plan, which was amended during the life of the application, provides additional fencing and boundary planting to soften to a point the relationship between these dwellings and the property number number 64. This, for members' information, is the permission which has the scheme which has planning permission, which was garages on the corner here, and a block of flats. And I think the view of offices is that the bungalows and houses with some planting here, and I think we accept undoubtedly it is changing the outlook. I mean, members on site today will appreciate that both numbers 62 and 64 have a fabulous clear outlook towards the A46, and it's a very large area that's undeveloped. But what we've got to consider is the stamp permission has a relationship with those buildings. There are flats proposed there. What we have here are bungalows screened by some planting and fencing, and by any standards, whilst it's different from what's enjoyed at present, a 20 metre rear garden and rear garden to the gable end of a bungalow in amenity standards is an acceptable arrangement.
Thank you. Councillor Bevington.
I'm sorry, Chair, I didn't think I'd put my hand up, but I will talk. Yes, I totally agree that, because I inspected the roads as well, and coming out on the new proposal is a significant improvement from the last. All you're losing is one scrubby hawthorn tree, and that's it. And it actually will tidy it up, I think, a bit better. You're not losing anything else. We're losing some Leylandii, which I don't think is any great loss in that area. There's already significant noise there from the A46, as we found today. It was a particularly bad day for it, I realise, with the conditions that we had, but the A46 was quite noisy there. I actually can't see this development adding significantly to that level of noise, and therefore I will go with officer's recommendation, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. I think most of the points I was going to mention have already been mentioned. I was going to see if we had a view of what was originally proposed and what was now being proposed, which the officers put up on the screen already, particularly around the adjoining property, so I'm happy with that. There was mention of the existing building being listed, but that's locally listed rather than being statutory listed, isn't it? It's not on the statutory, it's not a graded listed building on the statutory register. Thank you.
Correct. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. Could I ask for a native screening, native shrubs, holly, something like that to go in? And also the wood, who owns the wood? And who's going to manage the wood and the endangered wildlife, please?
To answer the question, the landscaping scheme for the site includes mainly indigenous species, so there's a mixture of species in terms of the landscaping scheme, and there is a landscaping management plan for the site which includes the wood. I mean, the wood at present forms part of the application site, so it's in the same ownership as the proposed area of the 43 dwellings, and it's proposed that would be managed by a private management company to retain the protected trees, enhance the biodiversity. You see, there's mention of newts on the site, and to generally preserve and maintain the amenity of it. So it would be retained in private ownership and would be managed by a private management company.
Can you just come back, Chair? That's all well and good. Sounds great. But, I mean, would that be checked on in, say, 5 years' time? Say, if the newt's disappeared because it's not been looked after properly. Is there any comeback? Do you see where I'm coming from?
The application was supported by an ecological support report, which talks about both how the newts and other wildlife would be protected during construction and their longer-term welfare as well. So that was in that report. I mean, ultimately, it's in the hands of the management company. We don't have a great deal of control over that.
Thank you. Councillor Fryer.
Thank you. I welcome the change of the layout. And I think for those councillors that weren't able to be on site this afternoon, the officer I don't think emphasised, and probably had no need to, is that where the building, the houses are that are unhappy about this development, they're actually on a much higher level. The ground falls away from their property and then flattens out. And if it's now going to have bungalows and side-on bungalows, and the wood is going to be managed, which never was, which is really their viewpoint, their main view, I believe I'm right in saying, is that in actual fact, and 20 metres in modern building developments we've had to look at is quite a comfortable length. We have had to approve with much smaller distances between properties. So therefore, I think as much mitigation that could possibly be done has been done, and therefore I will be supporting officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Last speaker, Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. I wasn't today on the bus, but I was there last time. So this entrance is an awful lot better than what was proposed last time. There's just several things I'm concerned about. The construction traffic going between the Mews and Gensel Court itself, is that going to be a big issue? Although I've been there before, I can't think of the distance that we're talking about. So if you could just go through that with me. The other one is the Leylandii that will be moved. It's not significant, but to remove it in nesting at nesting times, it would be significant then, because they are used as cover for nesting. Obviously, the developers will have to conform to those standards, but I want to make sure of that. And I always have a concern with a place not being adopted by the council and management companies. And I do hope that the developers, because obviously these houses will have to pay a maintenance charge to cover it, as well as their council tax to the county council, to Charnwood and to the parish. And I hope that that is fully explained to the new residents. I am concerned about these management companies, and I think it's something that we do need to look at in the future as a council. Thank you.
I mean, just to come back on those in reverse order, perhaps, the issue of maintenance and management companies is becoming more frequent, and I think that's really in the hands of the developers and the buyers being aware of what they're getting. It's perhaps a sign of the times. In terms of the Leylandii, which sort of go across the middle of part of the site, then yes, you're right. There's other legislation which covers that. There's a Wildlife and Countryside Act, which I'm sure the developers will be aware of, which precludes any work during sensitive times of the year. And the distance between the main Gensel Court and the Mews houses, and whether that's likely to be disturbed by construction traffic. I'm just looking at the conditions to see if there was a construction. Condition number 14 is a construction traffic management plan, which is more about perhaps traffic on the public roads as much as going through the site. But what we could do there is amend that slightly to ensure that it covers the entrance and the site itself to ensure, I mean, health and safety legislation will ensure that vehicles moving on off the site are cordoned off from other vehicles and pedestrians, but because of the sensitivity of the local listed buildings and potential for conflict, we could add some words in there to ensure that's addressed by that condition, if that's what members wish, and the mover and seconder agree.
Thank you. I think I'd appreciate that if accepts it. That's it, the proposer. Thank you.
Proposer and seconder, do you accept? Accept. Okay, thank you. Yes.
I didn't see it in here, but I know it can be done, is that arrangements for delivery to the site and work on the site can have time constraints. I know in my own village, on one of the developments there, deliveries can only take place between 9 and 3:30 to site, which means that it avoids rush hours in schools and things like that, and also about the working hours regarding Saturdays and Sundays and bank holidays. If something could be worked around that, I didn't see it in the conditions, and Councillor Seaton has sort of reminded me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Well, I don't know whether the officers can answer this question. Officers? Do such conditions apply to the site next door?
I have to say I've not checked, so in terms of consistency, perhaps this should have the same hours should they apply on the site next door and not if they don't, I suppose. But in terms of deliveries and other vehicles, notwithstanding the hours, I think the condition 14 could also include deliveries. It talks about all traffic movements in the interest of highway safety. So, and it talks about the submission and approval of a construction traffic management plan. So I guess that could include all vehicles delivering everything to the site. I'm just concerned about suddenly putting an hours condition on when it's not something that anyone has, either Highway Authority or Environmental Health, have asked for. But I think the line I would take would be that if there's one next door, then it may be reasonable to apply the same here. I'm in the hands of members on that.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Well, I think we need to look at that because we need to be consistent. I don't think it'd be reasonable to put conditions on this that don't apply to the site next door.
I think if you look at the site next door, it's got a completely different entrance off Jinsel Lane, and it's well away from the listed building and the Muse houses. This one, we're talking about having an entrance going between the Muse houses and the house itself, and I think there ought to be some limitation put on any delivery times, because it is moving between two sets of properties that are occupied, whereas the other one, there are no occupied sites at all at the moment, and they won't affect these. So I think that's if you're happy with that, proposer and seconder, then I think we should put a clause in with delivery times.
Chair, I support that. I think it's a good idea. It's something I'm perhaps overlooked. And I think because of its geographical location specific to that site, it would probably be wise to do so.
Okay, thank you. Brenda would like to speak. Brenda?
You've already covered it. I just wanted to make you aware that both sites are completely different and should be handled differently.
Thank you. Right, we have a proposition which has been proposed and seconded. On recommendation A, be approved with the words taken out, subject to confirmation of CIL compliance. Can we take that part first, please? All those in favour? That's unanimous. Second one is recommendation B, where we've got some modifications to the various clauses. Michael?
So the changes that have been made are the one referred to in the extras report, which is a minor update to condition two to refer to the updated drawing, and the two amendments to condition 14 that you've just talked about in terms of the construction traffic management plan to refer to construction traffic over the whole site and to regulate the delivery times because of the particular issue of the access close to existing properties.
Thank you. All those in favour of recommendation B on that basis?
That's unanimous again, Chair.
Thank you very much. That's approved. Thank you. There's no need for you to leave, Councillor Grimley. Have a seat. What do you? No, you're not going home early just because of that. You just don't have to talk when we're doing it.
Chair, if I may, I think notwithstanding the fact that the item might be relatively short and it is the last item on the agenda, if Councillor Grimley has a pecuniary interest or a personal interest leading to bias, then he is required by the Code of Conduct to leave the meeting.
Can't we all say that then? Last item, item six, list of applications determined under delegated powers. You've all had a chance to see these and read them. Are you all happy or? Okay, thank you very much. As this is my last meeting before Christmas, may I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. There'll be no cards delivered. I usually put a donation of money into the Mayor's Fund instead of cards. So, thank you very much.